Hi, I'm Kelly Corrigan. You've probably never heard of me. Maybe you did. I wrote some New York Times bestsellers. I gave a TED Talk. But the reason I'm in your ear now is to invite you to listen to Kelly Corrigan Wonders. We talk to everyone from Bono to Amy Schumer, Spike Lee to Rainn Wilson, Krista Tippett and Bryan Stevenson about purpose, creativity, well-being, and what makes life worth living. Follow and listen to Kelly Corrigan Wonders on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Billy is here. Scheduling purposes, it worked better today. His club taking on the St. Louis Blues tonight. Would you like a bold declaration of advice from me to you about your team? Are you prepared for it?
Yes.
Are you sitting down? Are you sitting down?
Close enough.
If your team would win 5 out of every 6 games for as long as you're the president of hockey operations, would you accept that? Would you be pleased with that? Would that be great? If you would win,
I would take that.
Okay.
I would take that. Yes.
You have done that without Kirill Kaprizov. I think you should cut him as a statement to your players to say, I believe in you. Kirill has been holding us back. What are your thoughts on your initial reaction to my idea?
My thoughts are that we would not be doing this radio segment very long if I did that. This would come to a quick stop.
You, in other words, you could call into the show.
Yeah,
exactly. We could still do the segment.
Yeah, you could still do the segment. Yeah. We'd have to change the open. The former president of hockey operations.
100%.
Yes.
100%.
I want to get to Kirill and his health in a little bit, but how do you feel about how your team has played without him? It's not easy to rally without a guy who, I mean, many people thought was the leading contender for the Hart Trophy, MVP in the league, and the way your team has responded without your best player.
Yeah, I mean, I'm really proud of these guys. I think they've responded really well. They've played, as a team. They continue to do the right things, and I think, it just shows that, when we're full, we can be a very good team. We're doing this without Grill, without Spurge, without Lauko, without Middleton. If we continue to do these things when the guys get back, that will be even better.
Without Kirill in particular, does the team have to adjust any different, or is it just the further emphasis of playing the right way?
I think it's further emphasis on playing the right way and just what I think what you need even more than that is depth scoring and for guys to, be chipping in and other guys just, kind of pick up the slack, in the goal scoring department. We've gotten that, you look at what, Marco's done in the last couple of weeks, he's really played really well and he's produced. And that's something that we've really needed.
Let's talk about Marco. This is only his second year. It seems like to a lot of us, if we're paying attention, it feels like he's been around more, but we had COVID, we had his health year, we had the heart issue, and we also the commitment of the guy when he stayed here in town as opposed to heading back to Austria, even missing his sister's wedding, the commitment. But the fact that last week in the league he was named the number one star with 3 goals and 5 assists, obviously you thought highly of him, but has he even exceeded your expectations?
Yeah, he has this year. It shouldn't be that way because if you look at Marco's track record, all those things that you mentioned, okay, the crazy COVID years, his health, all those things. Even with that, though, he has managed to improve every single year, and I think that's a really nice sign. That's a good trajectory, and. So I shouldn't be surprised. I love the way he's getting his points and his goals because, you know, being one of the smaller guys on our team, mm-hmm. he happens to spend more time in front of the other team's net than anybody else. And that's why he's getting it. He's willing to go to the ugly areas. And, you know, Marco's a tough kid. He's mentally tough, mentally yep. strong, and he's battled through a lot in his young career. And, you know, I guess I really shouldn't be surprised, but it's nice to see.
Well, I remember a couple of conversations we had a few years ago, Marco, and I think you used the exact same phrase. You said he is going to have to make the commitment to go to the ugly areas, that for him to flourish at this level. And when I watch you, I mean, listen, the courage all sorts of players show. But the fact that he does it impresses me so much. And then a lot of times when they show the footage after a win and they're honoring one of the players, he's underrated strong, man. I mean, I saw him the other day and I'm thinking, sometimes I see Marco just on ice in uniform and I don't realize how wiry tough he is. And so if he's willing to go there and then has that skill set, that's why he's producing at this type of level.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, look, the puck has to get to the front of the net eventually for it to go in.
Yep.
You might as well be standing there to tip it or tap it in or get a rebound or something. He's strong enough now, and he's got enough edge to his game where he can push back. He doesn't, you know, he's got more of an edge than you think. And, you know, honestly, and I've had a couple conversations with other players over the last, you know, 2 weeks or whatever, and they all bring Marco's name up of being kind of a little prick on the ice, and that's
good.
That's good.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Do you hit the beep button for that? Or no,
we held off. We've had to beep you before, and Dave's not eliminating that. We're not going to beep you again. You're probably the guest that we pay closest attention to it. Speaking of being a you-know-what in front of the goal, how many players take more abuse than Erickson Ek does across the entire league?
Not many.
I mean, they hate
Not
him.
Many.
I mean, but he's a great player. But, man, if there was – I know Russo does a lot of those surveys where which player is most detested. Erickson Ek has to be on that list.
Yeah. He reminds me of my old teammate Bobby Holík. And – it was the same way. It's because he's a bull in the china shop, you know. Like he doesn't even realize that he's doing it. It just that's why. Like when you see some of the scrums or you see guys like going at him, he's kind of got a look of confusion on his face. Like, what are you doing? Like, right. Why would you do that? And it's just he's big and rangy and kind of heavy. And just when he bumps into you, you think he's like kind of doing it on purpose. And no, he's just bumping into you. Like I remember back in Jersey, like guys wanted to kill Bobby in practice because we all thought like he's slew footing me. He's this, he's that. No, he's not. He's just bumping into you and he's that big. And it's, so he's the same way, but man, I love having him on our team.
Okay. Tell me about a practice fight that you got into. Does one come to mind?
Ooh. A practice fight that I got into, I can tell you one that I did not want to get into. That was with, Scott Stevens.
Oh, he's a huge,
were going at it pretty good in front of the net and we were both getting ticked off at each other. And he kind of looked at me and I looked at him and I was like, you know what? I think I'm just going to go back and get in line.
That was a good choice. Know,
I never really had like like an actual in fight, but I have seen them. I saw Randy McKay and Claude Lemieux go at it. I saw Mike Peluso go after Val Zelopukin. Like it was different back then, but we practiced hard and we played hard.
Most of those, were they from, and in your, this case, in the names you mentioned, these are feisty guys. Were they the guys you would expect would ever be, wait a second, you two are the finesse guys. What's going on, or was that pretty rare?
No, I mean, it happens all the time. It doesn't matter who it is. If you're competing in practice and you're just going, it doesn't really matter. And, one guy could just, you know, he could just be having a bad day. Mm-hmm. You just don't know. It could be nothing that anybody did. It's just that's the way it happened.
Let's pause. Let's put Billy on hold. We'll get an update on some injuries and some guys who might be coming back very soon. I want to get Billy's thoughts on Marc-Andre Fleury and Alex Ovechkin and what happened last week and considering their history and Billy's history in Pittsburgh, what that was like to watch. Remind you, the Wild are playing well again, and they take on the St. Louis Blues tonight. This man, the guy in charge, Billy Guerin, joins us every other week throughout the season. We're back with Mr. Guerin in moments on News Talk 830 WCCO. If you want to squeeze in a question for Bill Guerin through a text, you can. 651-461-9226. I'm going to run you over with the car later today, Dave Harrigan. I just
okay, 18.
Yeah, I'm gonna crush you. Okay, John Hines telling the media in the last couple hours, Jake Middleton's return is imminent. Does that mean he's playing tonight?
What did John say?
Imminent.
Then it's imminent.
Okay. I'm trying to push it a little further, William. I mean, imminent to me, Dave Harrigan. If I was the president of hockey operations, first of all, he knows. We know he knows. He's just not telling us. Mm-hmm. Imminent would mean he's playing tonight. Wouldn't you suspect that, Dave?
I wouldn't exactly jump to that conclusion, okay. Chad. I'd say it's imminent.
Okay, thanks a lot.
I needed
two of you in this conversation. Thanks a lot.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot. So you're not going to let me know if Jake Middleton is playing tonight. Is that what I'm surmising here?
I'm not going to let you. I'm not. No, it is what our head coach said, imminent.
Okay. Put it down. Bill Guerin says he's playing tonight. Okay, we'll put that down. What can you tell us about Kirill and Spurgeon?
Both progressing nicely. I think we could see Kirill sooner than later. I think we could. I think Spurge still considered week to week, but I think Kirill is making very good headway towards a return.
Kirill is not skating yet, correct? I believe I saw that couple reports. When he starts to skate, about how many days does he have to start skating, knowing his skill set, knowing his conditioning, before him to play again?
Plague?
Yeah, you know, it's like, does he need to skate for 3-4 days? Does he need to be skating for a week? You know, with this type of injury he's dealing with, without being too specific on the injury.
Not many.
Okay.
No.
When Spurgeon goes down, what was your reaction to the reason why he went down, and what did you think about his injury at that time?
Oh man, get that bleep button ready.
Yep.
No, I was mad. I was mad. It was a dirty play by a dirty player, and it's just unfortunate. But you know what? In the end, you let the emotions run, and then you calm down and you move on. And Spurge is much better off than we thought he was going to be. And we just take that as a positive, and just, you know what, it's behind us now. We'll just do what we have to do to move on.
So obviously, you know, this sport, infinity better than me, but I watched that and right away you nailed dirty play. I didn't know the guy's history. Then he said, suspension after suspension after suspension. And I just thought the league was too soft. When it's a clear intent to injure, Billy, I don't get why it isn't 10, 15, 20 games. I just don't get that. There's so many great aspects of your sport and your game. I don't care if he's your captain, which he is in this case, or he's a fourth line guy. That was a play to hurt a guy.
Yep. The league does is they have a system. They go through protocols that they believe work, and we, you know what, for the most, we support them, and we don't always have to agree with them. But look, when these things happen, we do what we can, and then we leave it in their hands. And it doesn't do us any good to fight it or to complain about it or anything like that. We really have to move on, because if you let it just sit there and eat you up, that's exactly what it will do, is eat you up. And you just, hey, look, we're protective over our players. We're emotional because these are players that we see day in and day out. We know them. We know their families. We have great relationships with them. And that's the benefit, or I think it's necessary in the job that goes on at the league, is that they are emotionally detached from it, and they look at it as a pure hockey situation, and that's what helps them make their decisions. So, and then we just live with it, because we all go by the same rules.
From your days playing in Pittsburgh to assistant general manager, you've watched Marc-Andre Fleury close up. You've won cups with him. You also know the brilliance of Alex Ovechkin. You know the history between those two franchises, those two players. You saw it from different perspectives. What was it like watching those two guys go head-to-head last week when Ovechkin scores a goal, but then Flower stops him in the shootout? Just two legends of the game matching up for one of the last times, if not the last time.
Yeah, it was awesome. It was incredible. I mean, the roof was coming off the place. It was a great atmosphere in Washington that night, and just to have those two guys who have, like you said, faced off against each other so many times. I mean, honestly, for me, it was flashbacks to 2009 where we were playing Game 7 in that building, and Ovi came down on a partial breakaway and Flower robbed him with a glove save. And that really set us up for a win in that game. It was a huge moment. And then just to fast forward, 15 years or whatever it's been, and
yeah,
they're both winding down their careers, but to have that moment against each other together, I just thought it was a really cool moment for the game.
I was telling this to my friend Adam Carter that you live it every day, right? Because of Fleury. I sometimes think in this town, the casual sports fan doesn't quite get how unique it is to have Fleury here, considering where he's going to end up on the all-time goalie list, and to have him still playing as well as he has. So people need to appreciate it. We've talked before about all the great players you've played against, but when you think about the games you played against Ovechkin and the physical force he is, the goal-scoring force he is, setting up where he sets up every damn power play and where he wants to set up if they have control of it in the offensive end, what stands out most about battling him and just observing him?
I mean, my God, he's just been consistently great. He's been consistently great and doing what he does every single year. And when you think he's, there have been a couple times over his career, obviously it's a long career, oh man, he's slowing down. He's slowing down.
Yeah.
Before he hurt his leg this year, he was leading the league in goals.
Yes.
He's 39.
Right.
And I personally never thought Wayne's record would be broken, the goal scoring.
Yep.
And
it's happening.
I mean, honestly, it's going to happen.
Yep.
And, Wes Wall said it the other day, and I honestly, how long is he going to keep playing? Can he push 1,000?
Yeah.
Seriously.
Right.
He's not, with his ability and his drive, is that really too far-fetched? And he's been amazing.
I watched.
He really has.
They were on national TV against the Rangers on Sunday, and I watched about half the game. And you're like, he's the best player on the ice. I mean, he's the guy who's still drawing the most attention. So why not? You know, it's, you know, when you have him or you have LeBron and you have these guys, when Brady, who are just all-timers, but then take such great care of themselves and still can be this great, we should never, ever take it for granted. One last thing.
No.
You signed a goaltender today. Tell me about who you signed.
Yeah, well, I mean, to be quite honest with you, we were down on the number of goalies that we had on NHL contracts, and Dylan's been playing great in Iowa. You know, Wally's been a little bit banged up lately. So in order to protect ourselves, we need another guy that we could possibly call up. And he's come in on an American League hockey deal and just been fantastic for us. And he's earned the right to have an NHL deal. It's good for him. It's good for us. And, it's just one of those things that just works.
Great stuff as always, sir. Travel safe. We'll talk soon.
All right. Thank you. See you, Chad.
Bill Guerin, he's tremendous with us. Yesterday, we chatted with someone who might be the Speaker of the House. She might be co-Speaker of the House. Today, we're going to talk with somebody who might be Speaker of the House. She might be co-Speaker of the House. She might not be Speaker of the House. Yesterday was Lisa Daymuth, the Republican. Today, it's Melissa Hortman. They have very different views about what's going to happen next week in St. Paul. Melissa Hortman, next on CCO.